On the news, they was talking about the late presidential wife, Barbara Bush. And this, she left a testimony to her son, Jeb, in a letter. And this was struck me. She said, "I believe that Jesus is my Savior, and I'm going to a better place." Things can't get any better than that. Please. I'm kind of homesick for the country for which I never been before. No, say goodbye. Red hair be smoking, and time won't matter anymore. You'll always, I'm longing for you, and someday, only I'll stand, for there my home shall be eternal. You'll always, yes, you'll always. All across that river, for when my pain will end and start, they'll tell of you. And then I will thank my heavenly flight. You'll always, I'm longing for you, and someday only I'll stand. Yes, if you love me, it's what I've been longing for.
Hey. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Our next song is 519. 519. Please all stand. 519.
Great is thy faithfulness, O
special number at this time?
I come to the garden. Wonderful composition, ladies. Thank you very much. Pray for Sister Sylvia. She'll be saying goodbye to us to relocate to back to the Philippines. Pray for her. I'd like to invite you to our 50th year anniversary coming up on June 3rd. Don't forget, put it on your calendar. June 3rd, Chula Vista Lo Baptist Church celebrating 50th year anniversary. Also for the ladies, my wife has a schedule for a ladies' conference. Just talked to my wife about it. She has a date. If you'd like to attend the ladies' conference, I encourage you to speak to my wife. I heard it was a blessing. Of course, I was not there. Amen. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. If you would stand to honor the word of God. Daniel chapter 6, halfway through the Old Testament. I just need you to put a bookmark onto Daniel chapter 6. That will be the indicator that we're getting close to the end of our message. And then I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want to thank our visitors for coming by and being here to celebrate Sunday at our church. So Daniel chapter 6, put a little bookmark or a pen. And then turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We've been studying the transition from one king to the next, from King Saul, going on now into King David in chapter 16. I want us to take a look first at verse 12. We'll be reading from verses 12 through verse 15. If you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand so somebody can share a Bible with you. 1 Samuel 16, verses 12 through 15. Then I'll ask Brother David Shandell. It's good to see him this morning. I want you there to say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, 1 Samuel 16, verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Verse 15, and Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. The title of this message is An Evil Spirit Troubling You. An Evil Spirit Troubling You. Brother David, please.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege that you give us, Lord, to come into your house again this morning. Lord, thank you for allowing us to open your word and read your word, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit, through your servant, will speak to us this morning, and it will receive something directly from you, Lord. Help us to accept, receive, and apply what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When I was going through this message, I was thinking of putting a title to it that says, A Stinking Spirit. But that may not be appropriate for some people and say, I don't want to come back to that church. The title of the message was Stinking Spirit. What we're looking at is the personality of David as the new king. The first thing that we learned last Sunday was that he was a keeper of the sheep. And in verse 12, we find that he was just a young man. He was ruddy, the Bible says, and he had a beautiful countenance, and he was goodly to look to. David must have had a very unassuming look. I mean, he did not look anything like a seasoned warrior that the nation of Israel was probably looking for. You know, during that time, Israel was going through battles with the other nations, so I'm assuming that as a nation, you would want to look for a king that's able to lead you into battle, into wars, right? And here God chooses a king who's very unassuming. The Bible says he was ruddy. He was young. He had a beautiful countenance and he was goodly to look to. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. When David comes to face the Philistines, this giant of the Philistines by the name of Goliath, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 42, the Bible says that the Philistine looked about and saw David, and he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. A fair countenance. That means David did not look anything like a warrior. David did not look anything like a king. David did not look like anything like a ruler, a dominant person. No. He was just a young man with a fair countenance, not like a seasoned warrior. Now, here's something I learned in my line of work. You know, that the more intimidating and loud a person is, the less likely they are skilled in fighting. And I, Pastor, what do you mean? I want you to observe the animal kingdom. You learn from nature. If you watch the animal kingdom, when I was growing up, one of our aunts had a peacock. You know what a peacock is? That bird? That large bird? When a peacock gets scared, it expands its tail to make itself appear bigger. And if you don't have I've never seen a peacock before, how many of you have a chihuahua? What's the characteristic of a chihuahua? It's the smallest of the dogs, and yes, it's the loudest of dogs. Amen? In comparison, you take a look at a lion. You go to San Diego Zoo, you take a look at a lion. A lion is just very quiet and calm and moves slowly. But you know that the lion is the most powerful and most dangerous animal in the wild. But you see, when you're dealing with human beings, when a person is loud and intimidating, you know what I learned? In reality, deep inside, they are afraid. And they're actually hiding their weakness. When I've been through several domestic violence incidents and fights and all kinds of crazy things that I've been around, one thing I notice about mankind is just like the animal kingdom. The aggressive, loud, and boisterous individual, they are loud and boisterous because they're afraid. And they're, in reality, they're weak. They're not fighters. That's why they're being loud. They're scared. And then I've come across individuals that are calm and quiet and does not even blink in front of danger. And then you find out that that person is more dangerous than the loud one. Amen? Another illustration would be like that if you've been through a storm. How many of you have ever been through a storm? Maybe you live in Florida. I grew up in the Philippines. One thing I remember about a storm is when you are in the eye of the storm, it's quiet. There's, as if there is no storm. And they say that the quieter it is at its core, the stronger the storm is. And that's just like people. There was a Chinese proverb. I'm not fond of Chinese proverbs, but you know, there was a Chinese proverb that I remember growing up. The proverb says something like, goes something like this: a shallow river is noisy, and a deep river is quiet. Amen? So in choosing a king, the nation of Israel is probably looking for somebody like King Saul. He was 7 feet tall, rugged. Maybe he had scars on his face to prove that he was a warrior, that he's been through battle. But God's choice of a king was that of a young man. I don't know how old he was here. Not only he was a young man, you look at King David, and he had a beautiful countenance, and he was goodly to look to. He did not look like a warrior at all. Take a look at the next verse. Now, verse 13. And then Samuel took the horn of oil. So here comes young David. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And notice when the horn of oil was poured unto David. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now the oil, back then, the oil is comprised of olive oil as its base, and it's mixed with the perfume and spices. And it's then placed into a horn, which is carved from in the inwards from a bull. You ever seen a bull a bull's horn? They would cut off that horn and they would carve the inside of that horn, and they would pour the oil with spices in there, and that's what Samuel used to pour upon David. In the back then, that oil was had a medicinal use. Take a look at Mark chapter 6, verse 13. Mark chapter 6, verse 13. Mark 6, 13. Back then, they had no pharmacies or pharmacists or drugs and other things that they used to cure ailments. But there were some naturally occurring spices and oil that was efficacious in healing people. Mark 6, 13, the Bible says, "And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick." And then what happened? Healed them. In Luke chapter 10, verse 34. Take a look at Luke chapter 10, verse 34. The Bible says in Luke 10, 34, "And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him." They used oil and wine to cure the sick. Take a look at James chapter 5, verse 14. James chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says, if you don't want to turn there, I'll read it for you. James 5, 14. The Bible says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." So they used this oil, of this anointing oil, not only for blessing someone, but also for curing sicknesses. Now, during that time, that oil was valuable depending on the ingredients. There was a woman who had an alabaster box full of oil, full of expensive oil. How many of you remember that story? Remember what she did? The worth of that alabaster box, the Bible says, was an entire year's labor. And she takes that oil and she pours it on her hair, and she uses her hair on the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was an expensive oil. But what I want you to notice is how when the oil was poured, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. So oil, this olive oil then, you know, oil has always been associated with the Holy Spirit. It's always been associated with the Holy Spirit. In the instances where an oil is mentioned, there's always what comes after that is the filling or the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let's slide down to verse 14 now. Verse 14 of our text. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." Notice how an evil spirit came when the Holy Spirit left Saul. Now, doctrinally, in the Old Testament, a man can lose the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. Doctrinally, in the Old Testament, a person can lose the Holy Spirit. In contrast, in the New Testament, a Christian can never lose the Holy Spirit. Amen? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" Ephesians 1:13, "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were," I heard it, "sealed." You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. But there's a difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit versus the filling of the Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody was struggling with this concept, or was misunderstood about this concept, a century ago. But there is a difference between being indwelled with the Spirit versus being filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, we are commanded, the Bible says, to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The point is, yes, the Holy Spirit of God may be living inside of you, but the question to you, Christian, is, are you full of it? Amen. Is the Holy Spirit filling your heart? Or is there something else that is occupying you right now? Let's take a look at our text once again. Verse 14, the Bible says that when the Spirit of the Lord departed from King Saul, an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. As soon as the Holy Spirit left King Saul, an evil spirit filled him up. And the truth is this, when the Holy Spirit is not in control of a person, someone else is in control.
Right.
Would you agree? Let me say it again. If the Holy Spirit is not in control of a person, I guarantee you someone else is in control. There's always somebody in control. Do you agree? There's several things in the Bible that you can find that can occupy a man and a woman. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, I want you to take a look at this. There is a hasty spirit. A hasty spirit. Take a look at Proverbs 14, 29. Let me give you four or five different things that can occupy your heart. And then I'll give you three things that should occupy your heart. In Proverbs 14, 29, the Bible says, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is what? Hasty of spirit exalteth folly." So first, there is a hasty spirit. A hasty spirit is one that is quick to judge and is quick to anger. We say that a man or woman is hot-tempered. Are you a hot-tempered individual? Do you have a hasty spirit? Here's the characteristic according to Proverbs 14:29: exalted folly. Are you always looking for trouble? Are you lifting up the negative things more than the positive things? Are you always focusing on the things that are wrong, the things that are bad about somebody, instead of focusing on the things that are good about that person? Do you have a hasty spirit? Secondly, there's a haughty spirit. Proverbs 16:18, the Bible says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." A haughty spirit is one that is boastful and proud, according to the Bible. It's one that is boastful and proud. You watch a proud person who thinks so highly of himself or herself. When I come across a boastful individual who's so high up here, our tendency is to be mad at them and to argue with them. But you know what I say? Just let them be. They will self-destruct. A proud individual, you don't have to do anything to them. They will self-destruct. A person who thinks that they're above everybody else, let them be. It's okay. They'll eventually self-destruct. That's a haughty spirit. Is one that is full of pride. And then Proverbs of King Solomon warns us of the third kind of spirit, and that is a perverse spirit. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 4. Proverbs 15, verse 4. The Bible says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." So there's a hasty spirit, there's a haughty spirit, and then there's this perverse spirit. A perverse spirit, according to Proverbs, is one who has a sharp tongue. A sharp tongue. Do you know someone who always has a mouth full of cursing?
Amen.
I mean, just loud and boisterous. Just very annoying. Amen. Cannot control his or her tongue. Please don't elbow your person right next to you, okay? There's a perverse spirit. Fourthly, this one it gets more serious. Proverbs 17:22. There is a broken spirit. There's a broken spirit. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." You know what the characteristic of a broken spirit is? A broken spirit, according to the Bible, is dry and sad. A person that you can never cheer up. You know someone like that? I mean, the sun is up. The sun is shining. It's perfect weather in Southern California, and you'll find a person with a broken spirit glooming, cursing, angry, mad. And then you say you are a Christian? Amen? If you are a Christian, you are heaven bound. You got to have a little bit of an excitement, man. You have to be a happy person. You have to be an excited individual. Don't be dull and boring. Have a little fun. Laugh at jokes. Say, no, I'm not holy when I laugh at jokes. Who said that? Who says that a Christian cannot laugh at jokes? Who said that as a Christian to live a holy life, you have to be always like a nun, always covered up with your hands clasped like this, walking around all sad and dry? No, it's the exact opposite, amen? If you are a Christian, you ought to be, what's the word? Like a flower that is blooming, like a radiant light bulb that is shining. That's a real Christian, amen? I mean, you cannot win others to Christ if you're walking like the whole world's about to end. If I am the unsaved person and you are the Christian and you're trying to tell me that I need to be saved, but I look at your life and your life is sad, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to be a Buddhist. That's the truth. You got to attract other people with the joy that was given you. If you don't have that joy, I don't want what you have. Amen?
Amen.
Proverbs 18, verse 14. There's a broken spirit. And I understand we go through trials and tribulations in our Christian life, don't we? And some of those things they wound our spirit. And it becomes difficult to recover from an offense. Proverbs 18, verse 14. After a broken spirit, there is also a wounded spirit. Take a look at Proverbs 18, verse 14. The Bible says the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? I like that verse. So the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. You know, that's one good reason why you should be a happy Christian. Because a desperate and angry individual will get sick. I guarantee you that. You don't have to be a medical doctor or a physician to know that if you're always angry, if you're always negative, eventually you'll have cancer or heart attack or high blood pressure. Amen? Oh, yeah. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. A happy Christian will live a long life. I tell you that. That's why I love this church. There are people that I can look up to and say, I want to be like that person because they're in their 90s and they're still here. Amen? But the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But the Bible also warns us that there are wounded spirits that is hard to bear. A wounded spirit is one that has been offended and has not healed or forgiven an offense. Do you have a wounded spirit? You know, you're asking. That's a perfect recipe for sickness and cancer. That spirit of unforgiveness. You got to get out of it. You got to grow out of it. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about that offended Christian that just goes in a spiral downhill that nobody can ever lift him back up. Don't be like that kind of Christian. There's a point. Yes, you have brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, you have a pastor that's there to encourage you and preach the word of God to encourage you. But there's a point when you yourself have to get out of that mess. It's like a drowning person. A drowning person. You could have the San Diego Harbor Patrol throw a life vest at you. Throw a rope at you. Rescue. Surround you with different boats. But unless you are willing to be rescued, you will keep drowning. And that's how it is with offenses. When you have a wounded spirit, a lot of times people are trying to help you to heal. Physician is trying to cure you. But if you are not willing to be cured by yourself, there's only so much that they can do that we can do for you. Amen? So my question is this. What evil spirit is troubling you? Do you have a hasty spirit? Do you have a haughty spirit? Do you have a perverse spirit? Do you have a broken spirit or a wounded spirit? What kind of spirit is living inside of you? Which spirit do you have? You see, it's always one or the other. And that's how you can differentiate a Christian who spends time with God on a regular basis throughout the week versus a Christian who only opens his or her Bible in church. You know how you can differentiate? Their spirit. When you come to church to join with your brothers and sisters in Christ, my question is, what kind of spirit do you bring with you? If you're a member of the body of Christ and you come to fellowship carrying an evil spirit of pride, of unforgiveness, of bitterness, of insecurity, you will rub that on to somebody else. You will rub that on to somebody else. In other words, what kind of attitude do you have when you come to church? If you have a spirit that does not edify your brothers and sisters in Christ, I ask you to leave that baggage or garbage at home. I have to ask you that. Because you have to be an encourager, not a destroyer. When the Apostle Paul, before he got saved, his name was Saul. In Acts chapter 8, verse 3, you remember the characteristic of Saul? The Bible says in verse 3 that he made havoc of the church, entering into every church and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. I mean, this man by the name of Saul would come into churches and destroy churches. But that was before Saul got saved. And then Saul gets saved and he becomes Paul. And you know he had a very destructive spirit before. But when he got saved, what happened to Paul? What happened to the spirit of Paul? The Apostle Paul thought about grace. The Apostle Paul thought about love. And the Apostle Paul thought about forgiveness and mercy. Amen? Proverbs 25, verse 28. Take a look at this. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. There are many things that we cannot control in this world. There are many things. But there are some things that you can control. Proverbs 25, 28, here's what the Bible says. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You see that? Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. In other words, you have a choice. You have a choice. It's a matter of choices, you know. You can keep that evil spirit, or you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here are three things that you should have instead as a Christian. Let me give you three things that you should have instead as a Christian. First of all, you should have a humble spirit. Proverbs 16, verse 19, the Bible says, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 29, 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Now, the humble spirit is the exact opposite of that haughty and hasty spirit. Have a humble spirit. Secondly, have a faithful spirit. Have a faithful spirit. Proverbs 11, 13, the Bible says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. A faithful spirit is the opposite of the perverse spirit. If the perverse spirit is one that's not able to hold his tongue, the Bible says that a faithful spirit is one that is able to keep a secret. Do you have a faithful spirit? And then finally, here's one. Is the one that I like the most. Go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. So you could have a humble spirit, you could have a faithful spirit, but more importantly, Daniel chapter 6 now, as a Christian, you must have an excellent spirit. Excellent spirit. Take a look at Daniel chapter 6. How many of you remember the story of Daniel? Daniel and his friends were taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar in the beginning. And here you have, he's dealing with King Darius, and he was chosen as one of the rulers. Take a look at verse 3. Daniel 6:3. The Bible says that then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Why? Because an excellent spirit was in him. As a Christian, that's what you should have. Have an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit is the opposite of a broken and a wounded spirit. You ask I've read a survey of employers that show that most employers would choose an employee who is less skilled but has the right attitude over an employee or an applicant who has all the skills but a poor attitude. Oh yeah. If I was hiring somebody, if I were to choose between somebody who is highly skilled but has a bad attitude, and another applicant applies to me who does not have all of the credentials, but he has the best attitude, guess what I will choose? I'd rather have somebody with a good attitude. Amen? Let me close with this illustration. When I was growing up as a teenager, I liked playing basketball. Every summer or after school, I would go straight to the city hall, which was the only place where they had a full basketball court in town. Now, this was back when the deodorant had been invented. Or at least I've never heard of it. Amen. And mind you, this was in the Philippines. There was no running water. There's no running hot water in the morning. So you had to boil hot water in a kettle if you wanted to take a shower. How many of you can relate? But you grew up in a third world country like I did? In a third world country where I grew up, I can't take a shower without boiling hot water in a kettle. It's cold. But so as a teenager, you know, there were many times when you could not bathe until noon when it was warmer. So, question, what happens when you go to bed after a long day of playing basketball under the sun? As a teenager, before they invented deodorants. by the next day, you stink. Amen? And I guarantee you this, no teenage girl wants to be around a stinky teenage boy. I learned that. Like, why is she avoiding me? What did I do wrong? What did I say to her? Why is she avoiding me? I know why she was avoiding me, because I stink. But you know, what is worse than a body odor smell is an attitude that stinks. Nobody wants to be around someone whose attitude stinks. And it's really easy to tell. When you walk down the hallway, do people meet you and shake your hand, or do they stay away? Amen? If you are a Christian, have the right attitude. Have an excellent spirit. Philippians 3:15 says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." How's your attitude, Christian? How's your attitude? Every head bowed, every eye closed. But I cannot close without asking you, do you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you? The Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. If you are a true Christian, you should have an excellent spirit in you, because the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. Amen? But if you are not saved today, that means you don't have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. And the reason why you have a bad attitude is why? Because you have never been saved. You have nothing good to look forward to. You're not looking forward towards heaven. You have no promise of heaven. I can't blame you why you're so angry. Because when you die after this life, you go to hell. But the choice is up to you. You can live this life living a bitter and angry life, or you can come to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He died at the cross for you. And He not only brought you salvation, my friend, He not only brought you salvation, He also brought you joy. You want to have joy in your life? Come to Jesus. He is that fountain of living water. He is that living water. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Come to Him. He'll heal your hasty spirit. He'll heal your haughty spirit. He'll heal your perverse spirit. And yes, my friend, He'll heal your broken spirit and your wounded spirit will be healed. Come to Jesus. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Would you like to meet Him today? The altar is open. If you need to come, the altar is open. Christian, if you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, how's your attitude? What kind of spirit do you bring when you come to church? What kind of spirit do you show to your loved ones at home and to your co-workers at work and to your neighbors? What kind of spirit do you carry with you? Christian, have an excellent spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The altar is open. close. Stand to our feet. God's people say?
Amen.
Amen. So let's close in prayer. Brother Raul, can you close in prayer, please? Brother Raul.